Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. This Sunday is the Ascension of Our Lord, and the readings are from Cycle C.
If I succeed in what I'm going to try to do in this preaching, some of you might be looking very intently and paying attention to the points I try to make all in a row, logically, left brain. Some of you might glaze over. And maybe you're thinking of a snack or what you're going to do after church, but maybe you'll be going into your own mystic place, into your own contemplation. That would be a good thing. I'm a Dominican, and we're supposed to be semi-contemplative, so I sort of live that way in both lobes of the brain. When I try to prepare to preach, I believe that I'm really trying to let the Lord speak to you, because the Lord loves you and wants to communicate with you. So I don't approach preaching as speech-making. It's not so much what I'm going to say, but what Christ might say through me. That's the idea. So you still do your preparation, you do your study, and you look at the context around you, including today being Mother's Day, for one. And then you go to prayer and write something and often throw it away. And then maybe go off in another direction and then settle upon something. For me, I often go to prayer before sleep and say, tell me what I'm supposed to say. They're your people. So this morning, I wake up, and I'm a fish. I'm a fish. And I wake up, and I've been swimming around like a fish. So what's that all about? I say, okay, God, fish. Fisher's the man, fish. I stayed in prayer for a little while, and then I got it. Oh, yeah. I used to be one. I was once a tadpole. I once swam around in my mother's womb. And you knew me and loved me even then. And this is the time for new beginnings, regardless of what's going on in your life, at least in the church's life. This is that's why Easter is in the springtime, where we have the opportunity to give evidence of new growth. It's also why it's so important for us to have the heart of a child. And I was being brought all the way back to the womb when I woke up. My parents knew how to make love, and I was a product of their lovemaking. They wouldn't have known how to make me if the parts had been assembled in front of them. But God took part in their love and brought me into existence. And so today, like you, perhaps I'm grateful for the gift of my life and the gift of my mom. This is my first Mother's Day without her. She passed. I had to call my sister and find out the date. It was the 23rd, so it's coming up in less than 2 weeks. But I'm in awe of the gift of life, the gift of the mother that I had, and of so many other things. I know that the Lord is inviting me and inviting you not to simply live out another day, but to live in this new space between life and death. The Gospels tell us as much. Jesus, who's endured this awful death publicly, shamefully, shows up and just starts saying, peace be with you, don't worry. Look, it's me. Then he starts telling them, I'm going to be with you a little while. They were just beginning to be able to bear the idea that he was back from the dead and talking with them, and then he starts talking about leaving again. But then he assures us, it's good. This is all good, because I'm about to give you a gift. Gift giving is one of the things we do on Mother's Day. We give some homemade card or flowers. My mom, she took photographs of all the flowers any of us ever gave her. I'm going through all of her photo albums now, and the flowers that she got for Mother's Day 1983, they're in the album. But right now, it's the Lord wanting to give us a gift. In fact, there are seven particular ones, and I want, if you've been tuning out, listen up, because this is the part that's really important. I'm going to name off the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to invite you to stand up and say which one you want. You don't really even have to say anything. Your posture will do all the talking. All you need to do is stand up. Okay? There are going to be seven of these gifts. They're classic. The first three sound like they live above your shoulders. They sound like they're all left brain, but they're not exactly. The first one is wisdom. The gift of wisdom. Wisdom is more than anything you could ever study to learn. It doesn't have anything to do with your IQ, your aptitude. The gift of wisdom was given to Solomon because he wanted to know how God was thinking all the time. Having the gift of wisdom is a way of making your mind and God's mind come together. Some of you apparently want that gift. You're already standing. There's going to be six more, and I'm only going to let you pick one. So I'm going to ask you to... I should have made the instructions a little more clear. That gift of wisdom is essentially you and God kind of syncing your minds so that you can know what God is thinking, and then you'd be able to make great decisions if you think God is trustworthy. That would be the gift of wisdom. There's another one that's kind of like it. It's the gift of understanding. The gospel today says Jesus gave them understanding and explained the scriptures to them. Well, the scriptures were already there. They could have read them already. But he blessed them with the gift of understanding, and they go, now I get it. The gift of understanding can just come by surprise, and who thought that was coming? You suddenly just understand something. It might be something that you needed to understand all along, or somebody near you needs to understand something, and for whatever reason, you get it. It happened twice in my family. My parents, my dad got off a ship in March of 1945 as the war was winding down and went to a party. He hated parties. My mother went to the same party. She hated parties. And so they both went to the kitchen so they wouldn't have to talk to people. So they met making sandwiches and stirring the punch because both of them would rather be useful. By the end of that evening, they made plans for the next day and the next 10 until he had to leave. And by the time he left, they were engaged. Married 3 months later, they understood that they found the right one. It gets better. My older sister Mimi is a college student at the University of Texas and goes to the Mass at the Newman Center, and they're going to have a retreat. There's an announcement about it. Come one, come all to the retreat this weekend. She hears a voice that says, go on the retreat, you'll meet your husband. She lived with two roommates and went back and told them that, and they all had a good laugh about it. You know how that story ends, don't you? They've been married 42 years. Six kids. The gift of understanding just comes out of the blue. You can't say why you know, you just know and you understand, and it's often about important stuff. Would you like to have the gift of understanding? Don't stand up yet. So, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. There's seven of them. Knowledge. Knowledge is essentially the gift of letting things come in one ear and stay. Not come in one ear and go out the other. The gift of knowledge is the gift to be able to absorb all that life can teach you moment by moment by moment and learn and know. Have knowledge. It's best illustrated by its opposite. Have you or somebody you know ever made the same mistake more than once? Or a dozen times? When are you going to get it through your thick skull? When you have to say that, that's probably evidence that you really could use the gift of knowledge. Somehow the ability to stay in the present moment and absorb what life can teach you moment by moment by moment, and that God could assist you with if you're not doing so well on your own. That'd be the gift of knowledge. Never having to repeat the same lesson more than once because you got it the first time. You can go on to the next thing. Gift of knowledge. 4, the gift of counsel. The gift of counsel, like counseling, has to do with advice giving, being able to receive good advice, but especially to offer it to others or to know the right thing to say at the right time to help someone along. The gift of counsel is like that, especially if you're a person who people already seek out and want to pour their troubles out to you. You probably already have a natural aptitude for counseling. If that's the case, you might want to ask for the gift of counsel so that you're not in it all by yourself. If people are going to seek out my counsel, then Lord, hit me with your best shot. Give me that gift of counsel so that I can really offer wise advice and a really good, compassionate listening ear. Gift of counsel is also important if you're in charge. You have responsibility over other people, like parents. Parents could use the gift of counsel because you shape other people's lives. Supervisors, bosses, owners. If you have people that look to you and your decisions affect the way their lives play out, you might want to have the gift of counsel so you're not just stumbling around all over the place and creating disorder. The gift of counsel can make organizations work together in a holy order and families work together in a holy order. That's the gift of counsel. Then there's the gift of piety. I think of piety as being like knowledge of an ecosystem or having a good feel for the ecology. If you're naturally green or care a lot about the earth, you might already have part of the gift of piety, because the gift of piety helps people to stop separating things out from sacred and profane or spiritual and unspiritual. The gift of piety helps a person to see there is no such distinction, that everything belongs and everyone belongs. And the holy isn't just in stained glass, but the holy is all around you. The gift of piety helps you to see something that might appear ugly or distorted, like a person who's degraded in some way, like a drug addict. If you easily walk by people who are suffering or find it hard to have respect for the homeless, that might be evidence that the gift of piety might be just the thing for you. Because a person with the gift of piety kind of easily and readily sees past the externals and sees the beauty and the wonder and the goodness of and the belongingness of all things to one another, because God created the world that way. That's the gift of piety. Would you like to have that? 2 more. The gift of courage. The gift of courage is that gift that makes all the virtues that you might have sturdy enough to endure under pressure. And my best example of that is Pontius Pilate. C.S. Lewis writes that Pontius Pilate had 2 virtues. He was just and he was merciful. Do you remember how Pontius Pilate exhibited being just? He listened to the evidence and said, "This man's not guilty. He hasn't done anything wrong." He was just. "Crucify him, crucify him." "Well, no, he doesn't deserve to be crucified, but okay, you can beat him up." That was a little bit merciful. So he had some justice and a little bit of mercy. But you know what they said next? "If you don't do what we say, we'll tell Caesar. You'll lose your job." He was afraid of losing his job. That's when he asked for the guy with the water bowl and said, "I wash my hands of this affair." He didn't have the courage of his convictions. He had a little bit of justice and just a smidge of mercy, but he didn't have courage and the whole thing fell apart. Courage can make all of your virtues sturdy. Would you like to have the gift of courage? 1 last one. Awe. The gift of awe. Awe. Awe is awesome, and it's almost too big to put into words, because we run out of words when we're really in the presence of awesomeness. Awesome people, awesome circumstances. It's just all too good. The person with the gift of awe, they float. They smile when you don't even know why. You want to be around them. You want some of that. Awe is the kind of thing that makes you appreciate being born and being alive and trusting that good things are going to come, or that you might be the means of good things to come. Awe just looks around and goes, wow, this is great. For no special reason. The person with the gift of awe is like that. Would you like to be that? So quickly, in review, let's do it together. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, piety, courage, awe. Now here's the deal. I'm gonna name one of them like wisdom, and if that's the one you pick, I'm only going to let you do it once. The Holy Spirit's going to give you all seven if you want them. But I'm going to say only one today. One to the customer. And in a little bit, we're going to join hands at the Our Father, and you might touch somebody you don't even know for a few minutes. What I want is when you stand up, if you want the gift of wisdom, would you stand? Right now. Right? If somebody came with you, would you touch them on the shoulder? Or just from your seat, just touch them. I want to make sure everybody's being touched by somebody else. Are we getting it? Because you're going to pray over it. There you go. That's perfect. You don't even have to know that guy. He won't hurt you. Okay? Just touch the person that's asking for the gift of wisdom and pray over them, just quietly. We want, Lord, for them to receive the gift of wisdom. Okay, please be seated. Those who would like the gift of understanding, would you stand? That gift of understanding. Okay? Here's the drill. If you're near one of the people that stood up, would you just look at them and touch them? Okay? Or at least put your hands in their direction. How about that? We're praying now for the gift of understanding. Lord, bless these people with the gift of your understanding. Please be seated. That gift that allows things to come in one ear and stay so that you can learn, the gift of knowledge. If you'd like the gift of knowledge, please stand. Okay. Lord, these your servants would like the gift of knowledge. Seated. The gift of counsel. Receiving good advice, giving good advice, leading other people effectively and with great grace. Seated. The gift of piety, that gift which enables us to see the beauty in things that don't look beautiful at first glance, to appreciate all that God has placed around us and see its sacredness. Please be seated. The gift of courage, that gift that makes any virtue that we might possess sturdy so that it can stand and be manifest under trial. Lord, your people long for the gift of courage. Be seated. Finally, the gift of awe, that gift that's beyond words, that brings us to tears, makes us deeply grateful for everything. We thank you for the gift of awe. So I'm finished preaching. Normally, at this point, there's the prayers of the faithful, and then we profess our faith. Well, I think we've just kind of prayed for one another quite a lot, and if we're really good at receiving the gifts that we've asked for, the world will benefit in all kind of ways. We also professed our faith if we stood up and said, I believe in all of this, and I want more. So we've asked God to give us gifts. Now it's time for us to receive the gifts of bread and wine and offer them back. So would you come forward with the gifts of bread and wine?
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Producer, Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP. Director, Gary Glover. With music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.